Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here I am. Here we are. This is the day after the big election. It is November 4th. Let me just check my calendar, Matt Farah. Hold on. Yes, November 4th, the morning after. Yet, we are recording on the Wednesday before, so...
This is perilous.
I've got the morning off, and Matt Farah said, let's podcast. And I said, yeah, let's do it in your studio. I took a drive over in the 992 down to 405. Beautiful exhaust sounds, you know, listen to some good music. And here I am in your lovely Westside Collector Car Storage Facility that
good
I'm
plug.
Hearing right
good
now
plug.
Is at 60% capacity. So hurry up if you need to store a car. And it's a beautiful day here, but I can't imagine what might be happening right now.
Might be a beautiful day, might be not such a beautiful day.
Yeah, I mean, the tension right now is, it's thick, right? You feel things getting thick. I don't want to do a prediction show.
No.
That's too hard to predict anything, right?
I didn't know this show was going to have to bridge this day.
Yeah, what we usually do is I do a guest segment, and then ahead of that, Zuckerman and I get together the day before.
So
we can really,
good idea.
Yeah, we talk about what's going on. Now we're a week out. It's starting to feel like my late night show, and I used to record a show in September that might air in May, so God knows what we're supposed to talk about in that monologue. But here, even so... Yeah, it's hard to say because things are quite noisy right now, and there's so much worry about the Civil War, the coming Civil War, and I love that phrase. It always makes me laugh because it's one of those rebranding a crime things phrases, right?
Right.
Civil War is just domestic.
It's the word militia and terrorism.
Yeah, it's domestic terrorism,
yes,
right?
Yes,
so if
yes.
you're thinking, if you're a listener, you're thinking, hey. We lost or we won, and we're going to start. Don't do it because it's domestic terrorism, and
right.
you're going to go to jail for life.
Right.
But it's like that. It's like microdosing. Oh, that sounds kind of charming. No, that's drug abuse.
Microdosing. The reality of that is you're taking acid every day. That's the reality.
My other one is not prostitution. Paid dating.
Oh,
it's just paid dating.
The sugar daddy stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just on a paid date. Mm-hmm. See, it's a much more so that you know. Again, the Civil War is just another one.
I'll tell you what.
Word plays.
Here's a tangent for
yes.
you. You got to hand it to ISIS a little bit because because in the ISIS
this show
training
is so far
camp
off the rails already.
Videos
yes.
that we see on YouTube,
yes.
they use the Toyota Hilux.
Yes,
they're getting
mm-hmm.
out of the Toyota Hilux, which Top Gear once demonstrated mm-hmm. to us is a virtually indestructible vehicle.
Right.
If you were going to build a terrorist cell. Militia.
Right, a militia.
You would want to use such a vehicle. But did you see the video from what, by the time this airs, will be 2 weeks ago, of the, quote, militia training in
yes.
The Midwest getting out of a purple PT Cruiser?
I did see
they
that
were
one.
With AK, or the
yeah.
M16s, the whole, the stupid cosplaying vests and all that shit, getting out of a purple,
yeah.
sparkly PT Cruiser.
Yes.
I saw another video of
it,
some...
I have to be honest, though, that made me kind of like him. It was just like...
Imagine showing up at the first day of training.
In the PT Cruiser. I find that to be less terrifying than the terrorist, like you're saying, these Toyota Highlanders. You know what that looks like. A couple of guys in the front, a couple of guys in the back, flags, and a 50
maybe
caliber machine gun, right?
Yeah.
I see those trucks with the Trump people, too, driving around.
That big right? flag is easily interchangeable. Yeah, the same tripod holds
I'm trying not to draw any sort of conclusions from that, but you can't help but do it. So, again, the PT Cruiser was kind of a welcome change. I just got, you know, I don't know. The PT Cruiser is on everybody's mind. The
interior design of it is so charming. Imagine a Beetle.
I was just on the Vampire, what are these guys? Vampire the Band.
Weekend?
Vampire Weekend, yes. Excuse me. Sorry. On Ezra's show. I think it's Ezra. All he wanted to talk about was the PT Cruiser. That's all he wanted to talk about.
The dude from Vampire Weekend?
Yes. And the possible collectability. I mean, we spent 30 minutes on me.
Oh, sorry, really?
Yes. And he kept coming back. He kept saying, well, if, let's just say I have the best one in the world. and I would say, well, they made a million of them. I still don't know that you're really going to have something worth more than a couple $1,000s.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun talking about it. That's hilarious. Yeah, it was funny. I think he was doing it for comedic purposes.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, there's an opportunity for like a great troll there where you could be like, listen, you could corner the market on these.
Well, that's what he was saying.
Start to encourage him to just start buying up PT Cruisers.
I think he was already doing that. You guys should listen to that episode. It was last week, and it was a lot of fun.
That's fun. Ezra Koenig, is that his name? Koenig?
Ezra Koenig, yeah. Apparently he's a big Seinfeld fan. There was a guy who runs a really popular Seinfeld Twitter feed there that had put together Trump dancing and Elaine dancing and had me on to discuss that as I wrote The Little Kicks and was there to tell the real story of how that dance happened. How it was inspired by Lorne Michaels, who danced with his little kicks in the air.
I could really, I think, pictured Lorne Michaels dancing like just like that.
He did, yes. That dance was communicated to our friend Elaine, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who then took it and made it into her own great masterpiece. But it was with the little kicks. Yeah. I said, "Here's all I know is the little kicks and the hands are shaking." And she said, "I got you. I'll have something tomorrow." She came back and the rest is legend.
That's awesome.
Anyway, who knows what's happening today. I won't make any predictions about anything, but I will maybe predict, and maybe I'm going to be wrong, that everything, it's just peace and quiet. That everything's fine. It's the beginning of an era of boring politics. That's what I hope.
Oh.
An era of there's just government, there's no more insanity, and we can all go about our business not hearing about this stuff for a little while. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have a day where I don't where I don't start my day with like, oh God, what has this fucking lunatic mobster with a fucking melted dementia brain done today?
Yes.
You know, and
yeah.
But distraction, as Sarah Kendzior says, is or spectacle is a great distraction from malfeasance. So
yes.
When they start doing crazy things, you got to start looking at what mundane, terrible thing they're doing underneath and getting away with.
So when they lift the rock up, it's going to be bad. Let's face it. But
I hope the rock gets lifted.
As usual for the United States. I like to go and look back at history and just, we're just going to be in an endless cycle of madness and then okay times and then madness again. Don't you think?
I think if you
just
take
forever and ever. I mean, I think, you know who I was thinking about this morning was Carl Reiner, because the Dodgers won the World Series last night, and I texted my friend George Shapiro, who's friendly with Mel Brooks and Carl, and it was a great game. It was great to see the Dodgers finally get it, and he sent back this really cool picture of him and Mel Brooks holding up a pillow with Carl Reiner's face on it, and go, it was a special night for them. But I was thinking about Carl, who I loved. I really loved that guy. He's just like the prototypical comedy writer and great guy. And here he died a few months ago. He would come on my show and just pump me up when I was feeling down about I don't think I can do this and just go, no, this is great. He did it in front of the audience. We loved Carl Reiner. He was that guy we'd call and go, hey, you know, Andy Dick just dropped out. Can you save us? And he'd be, I'll be right over. He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
I'll be right over, right? Here he is. Out there, you know, working for the Democrats and trying, you know, to get Trump defeated. And also a Dodger fan. And the poor guy goes out before both things happen, right?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, because it's an old man trap. I was just thinking in the larger picture, old men in general decry the state of humanity. right before they die. They say, you know what, there's no hope for these young, no matter what it is or what's going on. They do, yeah. Most of them, I see them do that. Mm. I hear from my old guy.
They call that acceptance?
That's part of my routine, Spike. It's not what I actually believe. Shut up, Jerry. But they decry.
These are his words. They mean nothing.
This is just a joke. I'm not Jerry. But a lot of my old man friends, I've noticed, and it's an old man thing, and I'm starting to do it too, is, oh, this younger generation, they don't know what they're talking about. And the world is just a horrible place, and I think it's just for them to prepare to sail on. But I don't know.
I'm a little more optimistic. I think the young people are smarter.
I do. I think that too. I'm not saying that I don't believe that. I guess I feel bad that Carl Reiner, at the very least, didn't get to see the Dodgers win the World
Series.
True.
That's a bummer.
That I relate.
His pillow did.
His pillow saw it. Mel saw it. I think they the Dodgers haven't won for what, 30 years?
Something like that,
right?
I'm the wrong
And I know because that. The Red Sox hadn't won the World Series since 1918. So I know that pain. And I know there when I was bartending, there were a bunch of old guys sitting at the bar just going, I am staying alive. They were serious. You know, and I believe that little things like that can keep old people alive.
You need a purpose.
Apparently. Anyway. Wherever you are, Carl Reiner, we love you, man. Let's talk cars. This is good. I'm glad you let me get all that off my chest. I'm sorry I don't know what happened. I hope you were all safe today. My guess is you are, and it's just business as usual. All right, Matt Farah.
Hi. Here we are.
A few weeks back, 1,750 horsepower car called the SSC Tarantula, which set a record for the fastest production car. Blasting past 300 miles an hour, $1.9 million. Oliver Webb is the guy who was behind the wheel. And it passed the previous mark by the Koenigsegg set in 2017. Now, this morning, I was I opened up my Twitter feed. And I don't know why. You're always at the top of my Twitter feed. And it said, this is...
For someone who doesn't have a blue check mark.
This is shady as fuck.
What's
happening with this right now?
So... I'm friends with the dude who designed the car.
Okay.
Actually drew the thing, not like engineered it, right? Jason Castriota. He also designed the Ferrari 599. He also designed the Maserati Gran Turismo.
Mm-hmm.
He designed some other very cool concept cars that were got praised but didn't get made. And so he designed this thing too. It's a hypercar. It looks like a hypercar, right? He came on the podcast before the announcement of the speed was made and told us, me and Zach, pre-embargo, as it were. Some numbers, 330 miles an hour, that sounded pretty fucking crazy, right?
Right.
But, 1,700 horsepower and, long enough road, all right, makes sense. Is possible, right? Cars get faster. Sure, why not? And then it seems, and depending on when this airs, my comments may not even age so well. It seems that they didn't do a great job of controlling the narrative of what happened with the with videos and information.
Right. Is this the car company itself doing the test, or was this someone
who
bought it privately and then decided to do the test?
A combination of the two. It was a customer car.
Okay.
A finished production car.
Mm-hmm.
They went out on the same road that Koenigsegg uses in Nevada,
right.
160 to between Vegas and Pahrump, and did several runs. Okay. Some were warm up runs, 250, 260, 270, and then apparently, according to them, the two way average of 316, right? 301 one way and 330 the other way. Okay. They say there's data that shows it. Okay, right? They say. Top Gear, BBC Top Gear, is on hand for this record attempt, right?
Okay.
And makes a video. They then air that video, okay? The video shows the car going really fast down the road, and there's telemetry, numbers on the bottom that are going up, right? The numbers on the bottom don't match the numbers in the car.
Okay.
And the numbers on the bottom don't match the fixed objects on the side of the road going by the side of the car. Again, today is the 28th, right?
Yes.
So I don't know. By the time this airs, this story could be fucking... There's alleged fuckery. It is alleged. It is alleged that this that there,
who is doing it? Who, some, the inter- allegations some internet are
people.
Saying.
Some internet people are trying to reverse engineer the video. Okay.
So no one believes that this speed was actually achieved, or some.
I'm not saying no one does, but
some people.
But they are saying that the evidence presented. The problem is, here's the problem. The video is being used as evidence where I don't believe it should be. In my opinion, if I was running a record car, maybe I wouldn't have Top Gear's cameras in the car for the record one. Maybe I'd let them go on one of the practice runs to get their footage because who the fuck could tell the difference anyway, right?
Right.
Because a director might just be like, who cares? We'll overlay the actual telemetry and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they then release the video, so... There's doubt in whatever. So as of today, I think this is a video production fail. I think. I don't, right now, it doesn't seem like there was a conspiracy to fake a top speed. That I don't think that that's what happened. I don't think.
But how I many do of think these cars, who is this company, first of all? I don't know anything about
the company.
It's
a small company based in Washington, a couple hours east of
and
Seattle.
And how many cars have they made?
This is their second, they had a car called the Ultimate Aero in 2007 that beat the original Bugatti Veyron. It was not a very attractive looking car, but it was like, you know, over 1,000 horsepower at a time when cars weren't 1,000 horsepower.
Right, right.
And it went really fast. It did. And nobody, it wasn't really disputed. It's a small company. I don't know, they sold 10, 12 of these things, not a lot. And they've spent the last 10 years, maybe even 12 years, developing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a small little
company. How does a business
company
like that work?
I don't fucking know.
It worked for 10 years and they sell one car.
I mean, the car's like $2 million. So if they can sell 15 or 20 of them, it might be a thing. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
Koenigsegg, like Christian von Koenigsegg and that company,
mm-hmm.
like they own the patents on lots of technologies that are used in other cars. So
they're making money on those.
So they make money on that, and supercars are like their fun. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
That's how they, you know.
What is their 300 mile per hour car? The Jesko?
Yeah. It's all a version of this. So Koenigsegg makes, you know, it's all about to be too with this Gamera sedan thing, but pretty much it's been a sequence and evolution of one product line further and further, right? That goes back to the CCX cars.
Mm-hmm.
And it carries through from the CCX to the Agera. And then the current cars are evolutions of that. It's all kind of one continuous evolution. The Jesko, it's tough to keep track, actually.
Yeah.
I believe is their straight line top speed one, as opposed to their more downforce, you know, kind of Nürburgring handling focus.
I like the name. It's the best car name I've heard in 3 or 4 years because it's like Jethro. But Jesko makes it a little more modern.
Koenigsegg uses, they've gone from alphanumerics to names. The good.
Didn't you
the
say if name. We flew there, we could drive those cars whenever
we
want?
Yes, you could. Right. Pretty much.
We just have to get ourselves to where? Sweden?
To Ängelholm.
Ängelholm,
which is in southern Sweden. You'd fly to Copenhagen
mm-hmm.
and then drive about 90 minutes north.
And then he would let me drive 300 miles an hour.
I don't know about... They would let you drive on their runway, which you can go 200 miles an hour easily.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't done that since the Carrera.
Koenigsegg is an incredible experience that is worth having.
Have you been?
Yes. That's how I know you can do that.
And what car did you drive over 200?
The Agera R.
Yeah?
Yes.
And did you like it?
Yes.
What did you notice about speed? Because I noticed things start to happen over 160.
This car was the most stable car I have ever driven, bar none. Bar none.
What about wind resistance? When did
this
you,
car was so goddamn fast.
How fast did you go?
205, something like that.
And what is
and then when I got
205?
To 205, I was told to take my hands off the wheel and stand on the brake pedal.
Yeah.
And I did that, and the car stayed straight and came to a controlled stop very, very quickly. It was one of the craziest things I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. That car's the real deal. So anyway.
That makes me want to put wings on it. Just fly around it.
Yeah. So anyway, SSC, you know, as of today.
Yes.
Maybe they did it. I think they probably did it. But what this whole situation is,
Now they have no choice. Now this is all blown up out of control.
Yeah.
They have no choice but to go do it again.
It's the only thing the world is talking about this morning.
now they've got to go do it again. So yeah. So I hope that they go do it again. But
well, if they do pull that off, which maybe most likely they will, they've now got a lot of attention on it, and they, you know,
I think they
everything's
have
cool.
absolutely bungled. Bungles. This is the uncut gems of press releases. This is like they had an opportunity to get ahead of it, and instead they said some bullshit that was quickly bullshit-ified, and it just was really it was not good.
Well, that's PR, right? Your PR person.
Yeah. Somebody fucked up.
Yeah, and that's the difference between the tiny homemade company and the we just put out a show today that has Robert Bollinger and his B1, which is the homemade version, and then the GMZ Hummer EV, which is the polished corporate version. And they're both interesting in very different ways, right?
Yeah.
The Robert Bollinger, who's pushing this B1, was bringing the B1 to a customer's house in Malibu so they could drive it off-road. Right. Think about that level of service he's providing to that customer who wrote in.
The CEO of the company.
Yeah, the CEO of the company and the truck delivered it and go, you want to see how this is going to work on your ranch in Malibu? Okay, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Right. And GMC, hey, if you want to come to a cattle call to see our GMC Hummer EV, it'll be down at the Barker Hangar. And you've got 20 minutes with the West Coast PR Direct, Shauna, who's delightful.
No one ever called me. I got zero calls and zero emails for that. So thanks, GM. Appreciate
it. You know, I was one of many. But you see, it's the different level of service. And they're pros and cons to both of these types of companies. But it doesn't surprise me that the smaller homemade company PR department kind of messed up the words and didn't have the staff to kind of figure that out. Mm-hmm. But could it be easily rectified?
The truck looks cool. I'll give them credit. And the Hummer looks like an interesting piece of hardware. It looks like it could be a good time.
It is quite beautiful. I actually like everything about it. Yeah.
I just think it's funny. Like, of course, like, there's this technology where you don't have to, where it's efficient, right?
It's
quiet, whatever. Like, of course, America is going to find a way to build the most powerful, heaviest, most wasteful version, earth crushing. You know what I mean? Like, let's go off-roading.
What is earth crushing about it?
8,000-pound off-road vehicle.
Yeah,
is the most America that has something called like fucking freedom mode or some shit. I mean,
no,
like,
crab mode.
No. There's a mode that's called like that has the word freedom in it.
Right. What happens?
It goes America. It takes you directly to vote for Donald Trump.
Up?
Yes. It deploys your MAGA hat dispenser. Comes out.
Well, I like to off-road. I'm not a Trump supporter. How did they get to off-road? Those guys
the whole thing about off-roading,
all of that.
The whole thing about off-roading, it treading lightly.
Yeah.
So, like, the heavier a vehicle is off-road, the worse it is for the environment.
I don't know.
Look, it's cool.
I want
to smash. I'm sorry to be devil's advocate or to be environment's advocate.
But it's about toughness, right? It's about blasting through stuff.
In commercials, not in real life.
I know. I was looking at their commercial again today and going, how did they get that sand shot? I don't think this thing moves.
CGI, yeah.
Is that a CGI? Because I did the blasting through the sand in the Land Rover Defender, and it was fun. And I saw how they get the shot. But again, I was like, well, if I can't drive this, that means it probably can't drive. Then how did you get that shot?
CGI.
You think that's all CGI?
I haven't seen this. I don't know what you're talking about. Was there a TV commercial for the Hummer where it drives?
Yeah, it was played in the World Series a bunch of times, but it's also on Twitter.
Well, either it was CGI, which could be, and there's means to do that. There's a thing called the Black Wing. Have you seen that thing?
No.
It's literally like a blank car.
Uh-huh.
It's the green screen of cars.
I know that.
And it can be anything.
It can be anything.
You bring it out and it's fucking anything. And so that's really cool. It could have been that, or it could have been that, in fact, the Hummer prototype does drive, but not in a way that you, journalist, customer, television personality, would find any way polished enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, someone told me that thing you guys were playing around with in the hangar, that, like, It does drive, but you have to like remove the center console, and there's like a manual shifter underneath it, and it's like
right.
not a finished, polished thing, but like if you had to drive it, you could.
Well, I was asking, these are the questions that I was asking. Are these stats going to remain? Is this going to have 350 miles per charge, right? Is this
well, that's just doing math. I think the math adds up. It's like if a battery is this big and it's this much and it's this much.
But that we've not seen that. What generally happens is, hey, I know we said this, but now the actual numbers are coming in lower. And
well,
I know we said it's 0 to 60 at 3.0, but you know what? Now prices, this changed, now it's
be.
A little slower.
It could
right?
be. It could be. But also, especially when you start talking about EVs, it becomes, it's you start to get a little into the weeds, but it becomes important to talk about briefly about the fact that the manufacturer can choose one of a couple of different ways to do their range calculations.
Scenarios.
Right.
Right.
Porsche chose one of the more conservative, if not the most conservative options that will result in a lower range EPA rating, right? Tesla took one of the more liberal ones, if not the most liberal, that results in a higher advertised range. But fundamentally, the physics of 90 kilowatts of battery and this much of car, you know, no one has like some magic secret. It's like EVs are understood at this point.
Yeah.
So,
I'm
so,
just a little
yeah.
dubious. Just a little dubious. They said this is the launch edition. And I remember the Gladiator launch edition, how they couldn't sell the launch editions, they sold the other ones first, which the very definition of the launch edition is launch it first. And they just never made it to the dealership, or at least. What are you looking at? What's going on behind me?
Just, is there a guy I'm with so a gun? Sorry. There's one. I just got distracted by my disguise here.
No problem.
Hey.
Who is this? Hi. How you guys doing? I actually, it was really just about the ones in the warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah, in the garage.
Warehouse.
Yeah.
Side car collector storage.
On the top?
Guy with a tray.
The, where the
desserts for him.
Where the balcony
half
is?
Of them infused yeah, with
like
weed.
Oh no no no! It was just. It was really just. My concern was seeing the car.
It's a control group.
Yeah yeah. The one facing the street. Thanks very much.
What's that all about? That looks like a nurse that just wheeled up with your medications.
Does. I am very sorry for doing that. I'm
no,
trying to do
fine.
A podcast while running a brick and mortar. It's a little thing.
Somebody sent me a picture of you, by the way.
What that was about is I am having. You'll notice on the warehouse side of the
yes.
facility
mm-hmm.
that on the street side there's blinds, so you can't so light can get through the windows, but
right.
not you can't see in. Well, it's only on the ground floor. Well, as it turns out, now that it's getting darker earlier,
yep.
the second floor, the third floor windows out here. It turns out that in the evening hours, you can totally see the fucking cars that are in here,
and that's not good.
Well, I don't want just people who are walking by across the street to be able to see cars
right.
inside. So we're putting...
Do you think someone would be able to break in?
No, no, it's not about breaking
go
in.
Go to the third story.
No, I don't.
Hold down that Ferrari.
Bro, no. I'm fucking gone. No, I don't.
It seems like it would be good advertising to light it up so people can see it.
I think it goes against, goes counter to my privacy policy that people
really?
Sign. Yeah.
Do your clients really desire privacy and then drive around and flashy
no.
sports cars?
No, the truth is... No, the truth is I care
right.
much more about it more than 98% of the clients. There's,
mm-hmm.
But there are a couple, as usual,
yep.
there are a couple that are extremely particular about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. Dude, we're a business that exists for
what
needy
are the names
people.
And what their cars?
Yeah.
You can tell us.
They have some awesome cars, I'll be honest.
But they don't want anybody to know about it.
Yeah.
Unless,
yeah,
so what do they drive around? They drive around in some sort of a dazzle paint job on the outside of the car,
yeah.
a bag over their head.
One of them drove up in a pickup truck with a mural on the back of it. I don't know.
No, that's cool.
So that's
here's the picture
someone
sent me this morning and said, and I this person had no idea I was even recording with you, but they said, you need to call Farrah and ask him about this. What is this all about? This is you, I guess, with Johnny Lieberman, and you had some sort of...
Is he asking about what the vape pen is?
He was asking about this show. What was going on in this show between you and Johnny Lieberman? It sounded like there was drunken debauchery
well,
happening.
Listen, Johnny brings over whiskey. That's like the thing that he does.
He does.
So,
and what happened?
He tried to say some things about Tesla that weren't entirely accurate.
Ah.
And I... tried to say some things that I thought were more accurate.
Uh-huh. And you guys got into it?
A little bit.
What episode of your show is this?
Like the one that aired yesterday?
Oh,
like,
okay, so last week.
Yeah, last week for the... Yeah, you go listen to it if you want.
Wow.
I don't know. So I think the people who spoke to me afterwards say that I won that argument.
Oh.
So, like, it's fine. We didn't, like, fight and aren't friends anymore.
Oh, I don't think that's what they were implying. I think this person was just saying that you guys got really wasted on the air.
I don't know if we got really wasted. We got, like, we're both super opinionated. We yell at each other almost every show that we
yes.
do, by the way.
Yes.
That's why we do shows.
Right.
It's like an opportunity to yell at each other
no.
for entertainment.
I think
value.
The whole thing, that's what makes the like, whole thing work.
I have a lot of opinions about self-driving technology and the risks they pose that technology poses to our society. I am not just a straight up optimist about that technology, and furthermore, I don't believe, as many people do, that technology is just some kind of inevitability that we have to accept.
No. Why would it be?
Because people think it is.
Really?
And do you know how many people are like, self-driving cars are the future? Not like, hold the fuck up, son. They're the future if we invest billions, if not trillions of dollars, and thousands, if not millions of hours into making it the future. We could absolutely choose a different future.
The latest update to Tesla had a funny disclaimer in it, which is, make sure your hands are on the wheel when you go around the corner.
Yeah.
So you're driving down a road, you're making a right turn, just make sure your hands are on the wheel
yeah.
for that. What they're leaving out is because it might not stop
yeah.
when there's a kid in a crosswalk.
Dude, have you ever used those features in Teslas? They're not good.
Tesla won't let me near their cars.
They are straight up not good.
Yeah.
They drive like worse than bad teenagers.
I've had some close calls in Volvo stuff, trying their stuff. I will tell you that I'm in the 992 on the way down here, okay? I'm on the highway. I pop in an adaptive cruise.
Adaptive cruise is different.
Yeah, I know. But I don't generally use any of this stuff. But I find more and more, like, if I've got a cup of coffee and I'm listening to Howard Stern, I'll pop that on, I'll keep my hand on the wheel, and I'll take my feet off the brake and the throttle. It's
yeah.
a nice position. But I'm still piloting the car, but it's keeping track of stuff. I
right.
might look away to do something really quick on the phone, but it's 1 or 2 seconds, right? I like that. I like this interaction between, you know, some automated stuff and me driving. But like you're saying, this... When it's more than that,
yeah.
I'm tempted to tune out
yeah.
a lot more. And then there have been some dangerous moments with other brands
right.
where suddenly the car does something odd.
Humans have very good hand-eye coordination,
right.
right? We can see what's coming at us and we can react to it, right?
Right.
Whether we're on skis, whether we're on a bicycle, whether we're in a car, right? We see what's coming in real time,
yes.
right? We process this information and we react physically with our hands and our feet, right? And sometimes our whole body if we're on a motorcycle or something, right? What we are not good at, and time and data proves this shit over and over and over, we are not good at sitting at a fucking screen, staring at something that... Once a month, so we're going to stand here, and it's going to be totally normal 99% of the time. But you don't know when, something's going to happen, and you have to be ready to go. We fail at that every time. We lose focus so fast
mm-hmm.
when given the task of just monitoring something that's supposed to run itself all the time. People fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, security guards falling asleep. They're just looking at empty monitors of empty mall. You know what I mean? It's like this happens over and over and over again. The person who was paid to monitor that Uber test vehicle in Arizona, her whole job, she was earning a living to monitor this vehicle and still was like watching her
phone.
They killed
somebody.
And a thing ran over somebody, you know?
Right, right.
Even if you pay someone to do that job, you know, and I'm not saying that a paid chauffeur couldn't also run someone over, you know what I mean? A paid driver, but fundamentally, in order to, we have to just accept the fact that the in-between here, where we have to be safety monitors, not active participants, that's a messy, messy, messy zone. Messy. Really messy. Like, deaths.
So
really
then how do
crashes.
You use this Tesla? So say you're, I'm driving home from here. I'm on the 405. I've got to get off, right? Is Tesla telling me, to put in my address, and it's just going to take me back to where I live. I'm going to pull. It's I'm going to be that, on the highway. Yeah. I'm going to move lanes to the right. I'm then going to exit. I'm then going to get up to the street. It's going to take a left on its own. Is that what Tesla is telling me it can do? And then I
don't want to say the wrong thing because, God forbid, I'm not perfectly pure in my facts and my morality.
But you understand what I'm saying. It is.
They're not saying it's 100%, but they're saying it can. They're saying, on the one hand, that it can do these things, and on the other hand, that you have to watch it because it could fail at any one of them at any time.
Right,
and, oh, by the way, this program is called Full Self-Driving.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, it's very cynical.
I don't know where it goes wrong.
It's very cynical.
But it does make me think, right? And again, Tesla, if you want to give me a car, I'll drive it and I'll try this out. But I'm wondering, like, if I'm on the highway and I put in my home address and I go from an interstate, do I exit the interstate onto city roads and to my home? Is that what they're saying it will do? And I can manage it at any point. But unlike some of the stuff that I've driven but from other manufacturers on the highway where there aren't even lane changes, really. There's just like we're keeping you in the middle. This is what Tesla is offering me. I put in an address. The cars will take me there. I can help it along, zhuzh it here and there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't read the exact thing that they're offering. But it's definitely... It's a hands-free experience and not just on well-marked interstates, on small side roads as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to look at the small minds that soak up propaganda and fake COVID data. And, you know, you tell it this, that, you know, I'm going to do it. I'll do the whole thing. Of course, they're going to believe it. Right.
Yeah. People want to believe it because people have invested in it being true already.
Right.
People are already invested in it.
Look what it can do. It's Theranos.
It's Theranos.
But I would believe it. I would get in this car and it'd be an experiment. I'd be like, let's put my address in. Let's put Matt's address in for West Side Collector Car Stores. Let's see if I just get there. Let's see. Hey, kids, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And then I would just go. So.
You want to believe it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun. It's, you know, like anything with cars, there's that little bragging you do with your family. Like, hey, look what Dad's new car can do. Look at the cool stuff it can do. Watch us careen into a divider and catch fire, and then watch the car catch fire again a week later in storage. All sorts of fun with the Tesla. People are going to be hating us on this episode.
I mean, look, whatever. I'm not saying something that isn't. If I say something that's not true, tell me. But
it is, you know. But when you're a pioneer and you're doing something different,
the problem is.
I know the problem
is that you're doing something different.
He's marketing
yes, and you're doing it on public roads.
Yes.
With people that haven't signed up to be your beta testers. And I'm talking about the people who bought the cars.
Right.
I'm talking about me on my fucking motorcycle right next to you. That's what I'm talking about.
It's got to happen.
Why?
Otherwise, it won't.
The circle!
You got to go.
It has to happen, otherwise it won't.
Look, I'm not saying he's doing it right. But, all you know, this is why there were test pilots.
But why does it have to happen?
Because technology moves forward, it marches on, it marches forward.
But it marches in the direction we make it march. Forward is the problem. The word forward doesn't have to mean what we think it means.
I think this is...
What if we use this technology, Spike? Instead of building a car that would allow us to watch a movie on our iPhone 17, instead of that, we built a car that you drove, that I drove... Right? Had adaptive cruise control like the 992, but you drive it. But that car, with the same technology, becomes uncrashable.
What does that mean?
Uncrashable. It means the safety features are the ones doing the watching.
Right,
and you're doing the driving instead of the other way around.
That's boring.
I couldn't have my shiny, uncrashable toy. Instead, I want to show my friends fucking so I can jerk off while going down to 405.
Look, I'm not saying that Musk is actually testing this stuff right. And I agree with you 100% that we should not be part of his beta test. Like, I'm not a big fan of Silicon Valley disrupt theory. Let's do it first and get permission later. I don't like that. I don't like it. Corporate malfeasance is what I call that. However, I do admire these giant jumbo jets that kind of land on their own. The computer programs that land the jets and fly us from point A to point B.
Dude, do you know how much easier that is than going down roads?
I know it is, yes, but...
So much easier.
I would like to see this stuff tested in a crash dummy kind of way and figured out before it's thrown.
There are companies that are doing a better job.
Right.
I mean, there's Johnny companies
Lieberman,
like Waymo.
If Lieberman were here, he would have said Cadillac and Waymo.
Well,
right?
Cadillac has their Super Cruise feature, right? Which technologically is very similar to autopilot,
right?
Except it's more constricted to freeways that have been approved by humans as,
yes,
here's a place this will work
I like
really
that.
Well. That's a good idea.
That is what I call Google Maps theory, which is some roads are covered on Google Street View, right?
Yeah.
Some aren't yet, but here's some of the main roads we can show you around Google Street View.
Yeah.
But that other one, that we're not there yet.
And if it's not, you can infer some things.
Yes, I like that idea. That's a good idea. There you go. We figured it out.
Right.
See? It's not everything. It's just pieces and approved areas and places we know.
Right.
Anyway.
But I don't know. Think about any post-apocalyptic future movie. The last 20 minutes of that film features someone wrestling control back from an automated vehicle to save the fucking day. Or finding an old vehicle that's manually driven.
Screenwriters got it right. People like me write those, Matt. We don't know what we're talking about.
Demolition Man nailed some stuff.
We need some good endings. That's all. But you're right. Yeah, the hero has to do it. But that's not real life. All right. We got a couple more. We got some time.
That's
I want to talk
about Elon Musk.
I drove. Let's talk motorcycles. I realized I have this list of vehicles that I have not really gone through and talked about on the show, and I thought I could cover a couple of them today. Ducati Diavel 1260S. The new Diavel 1260 combines the performance of a maxi naked with the ergonomics of a muscle cruiser. You haven't
driven? That almost sounds like an ad for a tampon, doesn't it?
About a year ago, I would not have known what that meant. But you're right.
Maxi naked is a style.
But now I'm telling you, a year ago, I would not know what I just said. But now I fully understand this description. Because Ducati has been so fucking cool and given me every bike that I've requested. They're about to give me the Panigale for my last Ducati test before pulling the trigger on a Ducati.
Did you get Scrambler 1100 yet?
I know. I've ridden that. I'm not interested in it.
The 1100 you rode, or the smaller, the 800?
I'm not interested in Scramblers, period, end of story.
Okay.
They're cool bikes. It's just not what I'm looking for right now.
Okay.
But yeah, Maxi Naked is like no aerodynamics, dude. You feel it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why that was fun.
That means you hold on for dear life at 80.
Yeah, and it's great. And you go, oh, this isn't good. But then you go, no, this is the only thing to have is that riding position and the air in your face. But we'll see. I'll tell you when I have the Panigale and I have a little bit of wind resistance. And this Diavel is the combination of both. The cruiser, it's got this big fat tire in the back. And it's got a naked quality to it, so you're getting a lot of wind. And it's a great bike. It's a very, very usable, great bike. Like, I really enjoyed riding it, but it doesn't have enough, for me, of the turny and twisty.
Agility.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to review this to say if you're looking for a bike in that market, this isn't the bike. If you're looking for a bike like that, this is definitely the bike. It's the one. I'm talking about my point of view, what I'm looking for, and what I've learned about myself as a rider, which is I like to go fast, I like to feel it, I like to lane split. I like
lane splitting. The narrowness of the bike makes a difference. You need a narrow bike.
And I like to turn it, and I like scenery control. And the big fat tire is, you know, great for a distance trip, you know, and cruising and being comfortable, but it doesn't turn, it's not as agile as that the Hypersport, you know.
Well,
come on, it's not going to be there. Anyway, just wanted to say that. Are you still reviewing bikes yourself?
I took a break because I got a lot of cars. I had like 7, 8, 9 cars in a row.
I wanted to ask you, I have stopped with my press cars. I have not requested anything.
Just go through waves and you got tired and want to drive your own cars?
Yeah. Yeah, it just ran out. I think there might be a McLaren coming and there's a Ducati, but what should I, you know?
Well,
you,
McLaren 765 LT I've got in a week or two.
Okay.
Which is the new fast, you know, the crazy version of the 720, which will be a great.
But I saw you in a Jaguar out at the Malibu Kitchen.
Yeah, I have coffee. It's here. You parked right next to it.
Right, and you said I should drive that. Why?
I think you should because it's the new F-Type R. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the difference in the front end. It looks a little Audi R80, actually. Uh-huh. They've squinted the lights a little bit. They'll tell you it's from the I-Pace, the electric one, but it looks more like an R8. But anyway, they've done a lot. They have the fundamental architecture of the car is exactly the same, but they've recalibrated both the ECU, the throttle, and the gearbox, and the differential. They've completely redone the whole suspension. New shocks, new springs, new sway bars, and a new rear knuckles. Recalibrated the electric power steering. They definitely copied Porsche's steering wheel. Somebody, because, you know, the old F-Type had the real girthy wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody at Jaguar got in a 992, drove it over to Jaguar's headquarters and said, "Oi, measuring tape." And measuring, when you go outside, I'm glad you had the 992.
Yeah,
because we're
going to
sit back and forth.
Okay.
I got in it because my mom has an F-Type, and so I've driven a lot of F-Type. I get in, I grab the wheel, and I go, "Ha!" So I just laughed like somebody.
Oh, that's interesting.
Immediately I went, "Oh, somebody measured Porsche's steering wheel."
Interesting.
But you know, I didn't like the R before because everything about it was grabby and stabby.
Yes.
And it was so like jerky. You know what I mean? The brakes were so grabby, but the throttle was so instant, and they really wanted to rah. You know?
Right.
So the long and short of it is, long term, those ragged 2015 cars that were like scary and undrivable, and they had to make them all-wheel drive after that,
mm-hmm.
That's the collectible one. The crazy one is always the collectible one,
right.
Long term.
Right.
But for driving now, the refinements of the new car, totally different experience, much, much better tool for going fast in the canyons.
Wow.
And much, much more usable every day because the suspension doesn't beat the shit out of you anymore. It's
right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really nice. I'm really, really
what
impressed.
What do they call that color?
Oh, I don't know.
It's yellowy.
It's brownie. Yellow. It's a special order color.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a launch color. It's like 45. Don't get yellow.
Like
British Racing Green over tan. That's how you do those cars.
What about, you know, those F-Types are famous for their exhaust note, and they're possibly illegally loud exhaust note. What does it sound
so
like?
So they mostly got rid of the burble tube. So they've done this. They've done the thing that Aston Martin does.
Mm-hmm.
So below 3, even in loud, like loud mode on the button, isn't loud anymore. It's just a little more tone than quiet mode. So it's when you start it, it starts in quiet mode now. It doesn't do that wake the neighbors.
Oh, that's
rap.
Great. Yeah, that's
so
great.
So you can actually start it in your neighborhood, and everyone doesn't think you're an asshole.
It's amazing how they figure that stuff out.
Yeah.
That is what keeps some guys, older guys with money, from buying these cars.
Or spouses hear it and go, no.
Well, it's a legitimate thing. I don't want, after 2 weeks, you're like, well, I don't want to wake up the neighbors. And
yeah.
Now I'm not driving it until noon, and then I'm not driving
exactly.
It.
So it has a quieter start, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you put it into loud mode, you get the full kill sound of the exhaust above 3,500. So 3,500 RPM to 7,500 RPM, or I think it's 72, whatever it is. It's on the full kill mode with a bit less burble tune than before.
Right.
But if you just throw it in D and you're just driving around the neighborhood, it's very quiet. Like the Velar. Remember the Velar?
Yeah, yeah.
The Byron Blue?
Yep.
It's that when it's below 3,500.
That's great.
Which, you have 500 plus pounds of torque. You're keeping it under 3,500 mm-hmm. when you're just cruising around. So it's good. They made really good choices all around.
Wow.
So yes, you should drive it. And I want to drive the new 6-cylinder one and see what that's about too.
Right.
Because the 6 was my favorite before.
What else? What else are you driving that you like?
I get a G-Wagon probably by the time we're done with this show.
The
550, not the AMG. I wanted, but you know why? I wanted to go off-roading. So I got the smaller wheels, off-road spec.
That?
I don't know, probably like, I like to go to the...
Norman?
I like to go to this place called Pioneer Flats. It's up by the Vasquez Rocks off the 14. And there's a great trail. The Pioneer Trail is what it's called. The fuck is the name of the park? I don't remember. It's called the Pioneer Trail. And Rauher Flats, that's what it's called. And it's a great trail. It's tough for a stock vehicle. It's challenging.
Right.
And you just go up the ridge of this mountain, up climbing up rocks and stuff, pretty steep. Not dangerous, but, mm-hmm. but challenging. And you have this amazing picnic spot on top. incredible view, tall grasses blowing in the wind, and then you come down the other side on more of a windy sort of just dirt, you know, road. It's lovely. So we're gonna make a video.
That sounds good.
But you know, I bought a Ferrari. That's like the news.
So I'm aware of that.
328 GTS.
That's a great buy. What year? 86.
Yes.
Pre-ABS. Tell us all about this car. Why did you buy this car?
Always wanted one.
I agree with this. I love these cars. I always want one.
Yeah. The shape is great. I've driven them before.
What's the mileage on your car?
40,000.
Wow. So it's good. A driver.
It's a driver, but...
Black.
Triple black. Black seats, black carpets, black paint.
When do you take delivery of
it? It's on a truck, either tomorrow or the next day.
Wow, that's exciting.
I'm very excited. And Sirio, who helped me find
Steve
it.
Steve Sirio, formerly of Aston Martin New England.
Yeah.
Who now is just leaning right into the classic car business.
Yes. I don't want to call them bad experiences on Bring a Trailer, because they weren't bad experiences. I bid on two cars.
Bad, then we call those bad experiences.
Yeah.
They're not bad, they're bad.
Yes, bad experiences, in which I lost a car, but by losing it, I really won.
Right.
Because
That's lose-win.
Yeah, because had I won, I would have overpaid for a not as nice car.
Yes.
And so once the second one was like an I just said, this is stupid. Why am I looking at a car at the same fucking place? The entire rest of the world is looking at cars right now.
Right.
And so I just called Sirio, and I said, here's what I want. Find me a good one. And within, I don't know, 24, 36 hours, he came back to me with three examples. Silver, blue.
Ooh, shit.
A green over tan.
What was the silver blue?
The silver blue was a no because of...
What year was it?
It was like an 87 or something. It was a nice car, but it had... I think it didn't...
Will you send me that?
Sure. You don't want it. We didn't want it for a reason.
Why?
I don't remember what it was, but there was a reason we didn't want it. The green one was stunning, but the owner did his own major service. No.
I did my own with these forceps.
Yeah.
I did that, and I got the turkey baster out. It's fully serviced for you.
Exactly.
No, I saved $35,000 on this service. Yeah. It was a pants-off... pants-off? It's supposed to be engine out and belts. No, I didn't wear a belt. yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
They're not that hard to service, but...
No, I think that's
what's great about
yourself.
The 328.
Yeah.
Is it's one of the most usable Ferraris you can get.
Yes.
Still,
now that I know that, I'll take another one.
Yeah, you want to do that service correctly because that's the whole game.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, if it was like a lifer car, you know, I'm going to keep this thing forever. Yeah, okay, service.
You can cut it. I put a new belt on. Look, it's a brand new belt. I got a gentleman's warehouse. Two belts. There they are.
Yeah.
Buy it. What do they call that green?
I don't know what green. It was like it looked like a British racing green kind of.
Oh,
But I don't know. The black is awesome. I'm stoked on the black. It's really
black
nice.
Is great. Black Testarossa is great.
Donnie's is the Peterson.
What's that?
Donnie Calloway's black Testarossa is in the Peterson exhibit alongside my Countach right now.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I was over there last night. Bruce gave a little private tour.
Yeah.
And have you ever been to Bruce's garage?
I have.
It is so sick.
Yeah, it is.
It's on the third fucking floor.
I know.
It's not
in the middle
the
of Beverly Hills.
Yes. It's like on Rodeo Drive on the third floor. It's like, oh my God, this is so
crazy.
I
would go there for these kind of Batman's Lair Peterson museums where they called in what they would say the dream team. You've made the dream team. And it'd be me and Patrick Long and Bruce and a bunch, and we're going to talk about it. And it became like us working for the Peterson for free. I'm doing 7 hours with you guys to come up with exhibits?
Yeah.
I love you, but, you know.
They just won some award that's like best car museum in the world.
Well, long the short of it is they didn't need us. You know, we are a bunch, you know, Jeff Swart was there. And, you know, think about what's happening when you're putting a bunch of us in a room.
Yeah.
Right?
Not productivity.
Exactly. They know their business well, right? And their staff knows their business well. And we're just there throwing crazy ideas. What about, you know, I would legitimately, if I were doing it again this week, go in and go, you need to do ISIS trucks with live 50 caliber. Think of how cool that would be. You know, so. But it was always super fun to be with Bruce and the gang, and he'd throw this great lunch. And then we'd go around, he'd show us a few more of the cars, the wall of motorcycles.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Up there. And I'm jaded. You know, he was giving a tour to some folks that hadn't been
right,
around
right.
before. You know, and I know what all his cars are. I've seen them, and I've talked to him, and so I'm impressed. But I'm not every time like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, this is a Shelby Cobra. Is it real? Yes, and it's the first one ever. You know, this is the, yeah. the, you know, it's like these three cars. Yeah. These two cars raced each other at Le Mans, and this you know, it's like Jesus Christ. But that garage is that's something.
Bruce, it's nice to see Bruce is driving those cars at the Cars and Coffee every Sunday. He shows up with something different. Leno's been showing up now every Sunday.
I missed Leno last week. What did he drive?
He drove this old Alfa Romeo that I still wasn't. You know, I was leaving as he was coming in, but it was so much fun.
Was it like a regular car? Like a
no,
a
really
airplane
old
engine.
It's on
something.
My Instagram. Or it was. You can see it there.
Like chain drive? The chain drive one?
No.
Okay.
No. This looked to be something from the 50s.
Oh.
I just didn't know the car, nor did anybody else. And, you know, he opened up the engine bay. Yeah, he has a three-cylinder straight three, and he's got these, and it's a Solex carbs on it.
The straight three?
And then I think, and then, you know, you get surrounded by people. And then then I go, what's this? And he picks up a piece of rubber tube, maybe about 2 foot long, with cut pieces of rubber on either side, and he goes, I actually don't know. Maybe it's this, and he hits me on the head. And, you know, that was it. It was just, you know, it's such a fun little show right now, and the police have decided to leave. And
don't give a shit.
You know, we had when we had Bollinger out there the week before, it was a massive show, but the following week we didn't really publicize it, and it was nice last Sunday.
That Lucid thing was cool.
Yeah, the Lucid was there.
That seems exciting.
Did you talk to the guy?
I didn't know who. I didn't talk to him, but the car looked cool.
Bob C. Lucid was there with the car.
Oh, really?
No, that's not his name.
Oh, I was going to say. The guy named Lucid?
Lucy Lucid brought her car out. No, I heard the guy who is the head of Lucid, whatever it is, Motors, whatever they call themselves, was there talking about the car and presenting it to everybody. I mean, how cool is that? Again, another CEO out there showing everybody the car. I know at one point I heard they had sourced a Porsche Taycan to kind of bring into their lab and take apart and have a look at it.
I'm not surprised. That's the kind of thing I would
do. And the Lucid is designed by the guy who designed the Tesla Model S.
Yeah, Franz von Holzhausen. Is that his name? I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Hello, Franz.
I think that's his name.
I thought it looked pretty neat.
Yeah, no, it looks great. It does look nice.
Where is that?
I like the thing that they're doing with the front and the back seats being different. You see
that?
So the front cockpit is dark. So that's to give you a more cockpit-like vibe, and then the rear seats and doors are light to give you a more sort of stadium kind of airy-like vibe. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a neat decision. I think there's some
fun. But it's fun. There. Don't you think it's cool that people are now debuting their shit out at the kitchen?
Yeah.
You know, for years we've all just been hanging there quietly, and now it's become this. It's become the new L.A. Auto Show.
And thanks for you taped off a spot. I don't know if it was for me, but I certainly
it was
you.
Not.
Who was it for?
I think we had been planning to podcast. Bill will do that whenever we want, by the way. So just let me know if you're going to go, and we'll do it. But I told him to save two spots. It's like when you order from Bill, right? I just want a little bit of turkey and some vegetables. You get a giant platter of everything, right? I said, I need two spots, one for me and one for Zuckerman. You get four.
Ah, cool.
So we figured you'd probably be coming along.
I'm
so
pretty sure. I hope I'll be able to drive the 328 up there this Sunday. It's supposed to be here on Friday. So
well, that would be this past pre-election,
past
pre-war Friday. Time. Now it's wartime.
Now it's Terminator 2.
Yes.
Machines are just crushing skulls.
Yeah,
in the
get your guns. Get your gear.
I hope this doesn't age like milk.
Well, anyway, we will take it out. That'll be good. Take that car out. Sunday. Let's do that. I want to see it. Cereal's going to be here, right?
I know,
He's doing your podcast this week.
Yes, last week.
Wow. Don't you think I hear about that? No, I do Farrah's. I guess I'm not good enough for yours. And I said, yeah, you got it right.
That's hilarious.
We love busting Cereo's balls. But,
that's hilarious.
But he is the guy when it comes to finding and buying, selling cars.
Yeah.
I sell cars through him all the time. He is the guy who helped me sell Eggball years ago.
I remember this.
And we did okay. We did okay.
Yeah, he got his finder's fee. I took care of him.
Yeah.
What did? Friends and family rate.
There it is.
It was good.
Yeah, he used to run Aston Martin New England.
Yeah.
For many years.
I was happy to pay the friends and family rate. His car, friends and family rate,
there
plus
it is.
Shipping,
right.
Was still substantially cheaper
right.
than what I would have spent to bring a trailer.
Do you have guarantees that the car will be in working order, that everything's going to be good?
No.
Who vetted that car for you?
He did.
He did.
He did.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he said the records check out. I talked to the owner.
Right.
And Donnie's excited to dig his teeth into it if we find anything as well. Donnie wants me to have a...
Donnie's good.
He wants me to have a 328 so badly
yeah.
so that I can talk about him working on it like I talk about Marco working on my Porsche.
Marco is now one of our sponsors, TLG.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And good for Marco. He's got my Safari right now. We are doing some upgrades.
All right, before we go, you just said Safari, and I'm just now remembering what we talked about today on the show, now a week later. There was a spy shot that Drive posted
oh, yeah.
that said looked like a production Safari 911. Have I you heard anything
I
about it?
I saw the picture. I don't know anything. I think it looks interesting.
Did you get excited?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Porsche doing it.
It would be such a validation for you and your car if they made a production Safari car, Matt Ferry. Come on.
That would be pretty awesome. I have skin in the game, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, Marco's right now is recamming my car to move the power band south.
Okay.
Right now it makes all the power between 5 and 7.
Yeah.
Typical sports car cam.
Right.
I want 2,500 to 5,000 fat torque curve because with the big wheels and tires... It's more usable, and the clutch that they used in the build, the original, that Lee put in the Safari build, is like a race car clutch. It's like a clutch that is designed so that you could clutch kick it over and over and over,
wow.
and it will take it. And that's not how I drive the car, and
right,
my
right.
knees hurt. So we're gonna put a clutch in from I think it's a clutch out of a 930 turbo. Which is a little stronger than the Carrera clutch, but it feels basically the same. So
there you go.
That's what we want. Drivability mods.
The only other piece of Porsche info I've heard, and I don't know if it's accurate, those GT3s that were spotted in Vail, Colorado, I've uh-huh. heard now, talking to a couple of unnamed sources, that those wings are the wings of the regular GT3.
The crazy
and
wing is?
The crazy wing is coming on the regular GT3.
Oh,
and
wow.
There's no active aero. There have been these rumors that there's an active aero component to it. And I have it on a pretty good source that there is not. But
wow.
the wing is the wing.
That's aggressive.
Right?
That's aggressive.
Yeah.
So you think they're going to continue the touring? No wing?
I couldn't say. It's hard to say, you know, in this environment where we're headed with cars, what they're going to do. I'd like to think they were going to make a new GT2 RS.
Yeah.
I don't know that I care about the touring, whether they do it or not.
I have to say, if they made a Safari based on the Carrera 4,
yeah.
they would sell so many of them.
Yeah, I get excited about those special editions.
Yeah.
But they have to be something beyond an appearance package. They
of
have
course.
To be something legit, real, and a surprise. And they always seem to do that every run. I will tell you, having you know now being on my second 992, I dig these 911s. These new 911s... at first, I didn't like the exterior styling, and I did the whole thing like I want to be a 991 guy, and I like that better. But as I drove the 992, I am super excited about this whole line of 911.
Yeah, they're great. It's all about how you paint the back end too. If you do the black or the painted,
but the way they drive, I've never taken to a new 911 series like this.
They're easy. They're good.
And they're fun. They're fast. Yeah. They turn. They make great sounds. You know, usually you're having to get used to it, but, you know, I'm in a 992 cab today. And
is that a Porsche drive car?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Thrilled.
Nice.
I'm thrilled with it.
How long are you going to keep this one for?
I was supposed to switch every month. But I just told him I want to keep this 992, and then I gave
the
it to...
The whole point is you change it. He's like, I'm just going to keep the 911.
I love it so much, and I gave it to Zuckerman for a week and champing at the bit, going, hey, bring that back. I want to drive it again. And then he's like, look, hey, when your time's up with the drive app, let me know. We're going to keep that car. Let's buy that. You want to buy it? I'm like, yeah.
Is the spec
yeah,
that
I
good
do.
That you want to buy that one?
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it's a chalk convertible, but what about it makes it, like, That one?
The way it drives.
The rental car you're going
to
buy?
I am the first one to drive it. Okay. It's a brand new car delivered with 20 miles. I've already put a grand on it. And he and
Do you have a mileage limit?
I don't know. I haven't checked. I'm just driving it. I've driven it. I keep driving it to like Palm Springs and driving it to these other things. And I'm about to do another 2-hour drive to do. I'm supposed to go flat track motorcycle racing with.
Oh, you're going
to
do that?
Yeah.
I said no.
With Royal Enfield.
Yeah, I said no to that. I'm too afraid of breaking myself.
The only reason I was thinking about saying no is I didn't want to buy all the gear.
You got to buy all the gear?
Yeah. Oh. And I told JC, I said, look, get me some of the gear so I don't have to spend $3,000 on gear. Yeah. But I'll be able to find that motocross gear and the rest of it. But, you know, you don't think you would really hurt yourself on that, do you?
If I had a functional body, probably not.
This is Royal Enfield, right?
Yeah. This is it's a flat track racing school.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And it sounds really fun. I would love to go. I've had 2 spine surgeries. I've had 2 knee surgeries. I really like walking.
You're so much smarter than me.
And I like. And my.
Well, why am I doing this then?
Well, maybe your health might not depend on you being able to go to the gym 7 days a week. Mine does. Yes. I go to the gym 7 days a week.
Right.
If I couldn't do that, I would gain 50 pounds in 6 months.
Right. Right.
And so. I've worked so hard to be fit with my brokenness. I can't fucking risk it.
You know, the guy who works on my motorcycle, Sonny Nutter, is a flat.
That's
famous,
his name?
Yeah, Sonny Nutter. He's a famous flat track racer. He's been, used to ride with McQueen and the Hulk.
Oh, back Bruce has a bunch of shit at his garage. Yeah, it says Nutter on it.
Yeah, he's the
best. Is that where the term Nutter came from? Like
maybe
calling someone a Nutter?
That or the Fluffinutter. But he's down at Santa Monica Airport, and he works on old bikes, and he builds beautiful old bikes. And I've always been intrigued by this flat track racing, which essentially is an oval where you're in one perpetual skid in an upright position. And Royal Enfield sent me that invitation, and it's, you know, it's an hour and a half drive in the 992 out to this place, skidding around a track the day before the election. Why not? It seems fun. It seems fun.
Yeah.
And I have no qualms telling any of these guys, look, I'm not going to do that. I did it with Lamborghini when I was racing around the track with them at Willow. And I was doing 156 on the straightaway, which is about as comfortable as I'm going to be in a race car.
Oh, recently?
2 weeks ago, And they said, now let's do it without traction control. Yeah. I was already sliding around turn 4 and 5. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. I'm just going to enjoy my time in this car. It's great. I'm going to tell everybody it's great. I'm going to do the same thing here. Like, if they go, okay, now, I'm going, nah, I'm not doing that. You can't make me kill myself on it. But I do want to slide around.
Yeah.
I do want to get some cool footage.
Getting comfortable on a bike that's moving underneath you is probably a good skill to have.
I can do that.
You can? Do you do a lot of dirt biking?
Yeah, when I was a kid. Okay. Not a lot, but enough to be comfortable with that feeling.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to do a little more, so.
I'm still mildly uncomfortable.
Now, again, here we may be on this Wednesday as you're listening to the show, and I might be dead, and Matt Farah is a genius for not going.
But, I hope not. I hope it's not our last show.
Perhaps Matt Farah and I are positioned against each other in a civil war. The coming civil war. I can't believe I got drafted to the South. I get, and Matt's on, all right, let's get my gun, let's go kill him. How does the civil war work? Well, that's it. We draft you here.
Do you have weapons?
Huh?
Do you have guns?
I do have one. But I don't. My gun story is a little different. Like, I grew up in a small town, very rednecky Massachusetts, and guns we were out shooting in the woods.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm surprised none of us got killed.
Yeah.
Because there was no supervision or any training, but we were running around with 22s. I never was allowed to have one. And my parents never really knew what I was doing. But my friend Scuzz, who's the motocross guy,
Scuzz.
Motorcycles and guns, woods, pretending to be in the Vietnam War and fighting and doing stuff like that, and then target shooting. So I've always been around them, but I was never allowed. So the second I got, you know, Massachusetts, New York, you're not only guns in those places. Maybe you do. I didn't. But the second I got to California, it was like, I'm getting an enduro motorcycle. And I'm getting a Glock, and I'm going out into the desert, and I'm going to ride that motorcycle and shoot at stuff. And I did, and I had some fun, and I took the courses, and I did all the gun safety stuff.
flash forward to kids, that gun got locked away.
Yeah, right.
It's just, I haven't really visited that gun since that moment. So yeah. I am a gun owner that doesn't.
Technically. Yeah.
That has not used his gun for at least 10 years. It's, you know, it's not in my home. It's not, it's locked up far away from where I live.
Yeah.
And in fact, if someone wanted to buy it, I would sell it to them. So that's the type of guy, gun owner I am.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. Technical gun owner.
Yeah, yeah. I've done, here's what I don't like about guns. They're dirty. Like, I don't like that I have to clean them and my hands
they
get all gunpowdery after.
Yeah.
But, like,
you wear it home with you a little bit.
If you were to say to me, hey, let's take a Land Rover Defender out to the desert, down to the Imperial Dunes, on that road where there's that shooting gallery, and I've got a bucket of cans, do you want to get your gun out? I'd say, fuck yeah, let's do that.
That would be fun. Art of shooting and stuff is understated.
I put a little laser sight under the barrel installed there, so, you know, you can just, you know, shoot where the little red dot goes.
Yeah.
And it's a cool setup. But again, you know, it was, I think the gun was bought weirdly because we were bored at Seinfeld. I think Andy Robin, who wrote the Junior Mints, myself, and his writing partner, Greg Cavett, you only had these, like, quick lunch breaks, and you essentially lived at the office.
Uh-huh.
So with Jerry and I, it was looking at cars, and then I was like, hey, should we get guns? Yeah, let's get, you know, it just seemed like a funny thing to do. So we would go, and, you know, we took the test, and we did the whole thing, and then we all bought our guns, and we're just single idiots living in Hollywood. You see what I mean?
My friends had a similar... let's all go buy guns.
But it becomes a little bit of an anchor later on when you have a family. You're like, what am I doing this for? I don't need it for self-defense, nor do I want it for self-defense.
Well, I know people that, like, won't leave their fucking house without a gun. They're scared of the world.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I live in Venice where there's, like, murders, like, every fucking day.
Yeah.
There's stabbings every day. The helicopters are always going. And forget about me. No one's fucking with me. But my wife is 5'2".
Yeah.
110 pounds.
Yes.
And she walks around not unafraid, you know?
Look, in my experience, the gun escalates things.
Yes, I agree.
More often than not, it escalates the issue, right? It escalates. Secondly, in my experience, I've had a gun aimed at me. I've been robbed at gunpoint in New York, and everything was fine. Here, take the money. It all went away. I've been robbed at knife point. It's on a Sunday afternoon in an arcade. Here you go. Here's your $10. Your gun. You see what I mean? I'm happy I didn't have a gun and blow. Both times it was like a teenager and then a 20-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm so happy I didn't murder them.
I don't want to defend my home by exploding someone's skull in my kitchen.
Yeah, and I can't even remember. I know one was for $10. Okay. I'm happy to pay you $10 so for the rest of my life I don't have to think about that I killed another human being, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
That's it.
I hope it's okay today by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine. I believe in America. I believe in Americans. I was kind of happy with the folks that Barrett talked to. They seem like a lot of nice... I feel like we're all headed to a big kumbaya moment. We can all maybe unite on a common enemy and be friends again. It'd be nice to have everybody friends again and stop this stupidity, wouldn't it?
What we need is a common foreign enemy.
Exactly. We need to declare war. And we need to all get behind that together. Red states, blue states, one state, United States. Well, that's our message. I hope you've enjoyed our election show.
Our pre-post election.
Thank you, Matt Farah, for doing this. This has been fun.
Yeah,
different kind of show than
thanks
we've done.
Thanks for my place.
If you guys are interested in storing cars, you want to go to Westside Collector Car Storage here in Los Angeles.
WCCS.com.
Go there. It's quite an operation. It's a very cool hang as well. One might even say it is the Soho House of car collecting storage place. To even call it just storage, it's more of a club.
It is.
Do you have COVID testing when people come in? How do you handle that part?
We have the little thing, the little gun.
Oh, you do, the little gun? How frequently do you get tested?
Well, I've probably had three or four tests total.
Yeah.
Basically, if I travel somewhere when I come back, that's pretty
good. But I don't have to worry about you barking across me right now.
No, you're good. I have I got a very small fucking group of people that I see.
And
anyway.
Lieberman? You think Lieberman's safe? He was here 3 days ago.
Well, I'm not sick, so... You know, Lieberman was here 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we recorded that a long time ago. We recorded that a long time ago.
I'm joking. Anyway, follow me on Instagram at Spike Ferris, and I'm happy to return your messages if they're not too long or too weird. And we'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's see how I don't fuck this up technologically.
That would be amazing if...
If I make it...
None of it got recorded.
No, 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 it definitely did.
We had that show.
It did. We recorded for 1 hour and 16 minutes.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.